RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo instructs canal construction on peatlands. 12 ambassadors are to attend Makassar ambassadors' meeting. Now the news in detail. President Joko or Jokowi Widodo has issued an instruction to construct canals on peatlands during his working visit to Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan on Saturday, October the 31st. President Jokowi explained that a month ago he visited Tumbang Nusa village in Central Kalimantan, observing burnt peatlands due to drought. A canal was developed to flow water from the Kahayan River. President Joko Widodo said the canal is now flowed by water and the water spread to peatland near the canal. That's what made peatlands less vulnerable to fire. He added that canal constructions would not be instruction only in Central Kalimantan, but also in all provinces with forests prone to land fires. The government, he said, would initiate other efforts to prevent forest fires. President Joko Widodo called regional governments to be responsive when hotspots occurred in their areas. 12 ambassadors are set to attend the Makassar Ambassadors Meeting, which will coincide with the Lovely Toraja Festival, scheduled from November 6th to 9th. Chief of the South Sulawesi Provincial Tourism Office, Jufri Rahman, said after a coordination meeting held to discuss preparations for the event on Saturday that by 19 embassy invited, 12 ambassadors will come, while the rest will send their consul-level officials. The 12 ambassadors, including those from Slovakia, Sudan, Croatia, Canada, the Netherlands, Vietnam, Mongolia, and Denmark. The ambassadors are scheduled to arrive in the South Sulawesi provincial capital of Makassar on November the 6th. They will play golf at Padi Valley until the afternoon of November the 7th. Thereafter, they will leave for Rantepao, North Toraja district, to attend the festival. The third Gotra Sawala Arts Festival 2015 held in Cirebon, West Jawa, on October the 3rd to November the 1st, invited various art and culture-related guests. The event aims to explore and introduce unrevealed Indonesian history and culture to its citizens and international society. The head of Gotra Sawala creative team, Frankie Raden, on Saturday during a discussion said that challenges for national cultural works to enter the international market are international standard and packaging.
Kalau kita sudah bicara soal internasional, itu standarnya agak beda dengan yang biasanya kita miliki di dalam negeri.
An international level, the standard is different from ours. We have to reach the standard. We cannot choose one, either only domestic or international market. I see that our music works are amazing, but fails in international market due to bad packaging. Another most important thing is how we enter the international market. On this same occasion, Frankie also conveyed that Gotra Sawala Art Festival Organizing Committee has invited foreign participants to introduce Indonesian culture. According to him, Indonesian cultural potential is difficult to be recognized without direct visit from international society. A total of 63 cinemas films, 17 TV films, more than 18 animation films, 115 long documentary films, as well as short documentary films and short films will take part to win Piala Citra Trophy at Indonesian Film Festival 2015 awarding event. This year, the judging involves 5 film experts from every film element, as well as 20 cross-generation actors and actresses. Yayang Cinur, first head of jury at the festival, in a press conference at Banten Gubernatorial Office Pavilion on Friday evening, said,
"Kali ini kami merekrut 5 pakar film.
This year we recruit 5 films experts from film elements. For instance, from editing category, we recruit 5 best editors. There are also 20 actors consisting of 10 actresses and 10 actors. The 10 actresses are 5 senior actresses and 5 young actresses. So are the actors." Yayang Zinur added that the next judging stage will involve more than 100 juries consisting of non-film people and the nominee of last year's festival.
Setelah sudah terpilih 5 nominasi,
after 5 nominations are selected from each category, the 85 juries will be added into 15 juries comprising non-film people, cultural observers, producers, journalists, and many others. This year, there will be additional juries, namely last year's nominees. So there are more than 100 juries. We hope it will really balance, fair, and qualified. The nomination announcement will be held on November 12, 2015 at La Moda Cafe Plaza Indonesia, Central Jakarta. Meanwhile, the peak events of Indonesian Film Festival 2015 will take place on November the 23rd at Indonesia Exhibition Center BSD City, Tangerang, Banten. In order to improve the services and protection quality for the Indonesian citizens that are living in Penang, Kedah, and Perlis, Malaysia, the Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in Penang and the Citizen Services Consulate has organized training program on consular and immigration issues in Teluk Bahang, Pulau Penang, Malaysia on Saturday. Neni Kurniati, Consular Officer in Consulate General in Penang, and in a press release on Saturday said that the event was organized in order to improve the capacity and understanding of all officers and staffs of the Indonesian Consulate General in Penang and consular and immigration issues faced by many Indonesian citizens in Malaysia. According to her, the material learned in the training program, among others, including victim identification for Indonesian citizens who have become victims of violence, the issue of citizenship, and the training program ends with the material on report mechanism. Based on data from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the number of citizens in the whole of Malaysia reached more than 2.5 million people. About 57,000 of them are living in the territory area of the Consulate General in Penang, including Penang, Kedah, and Perlis area. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo instructs canal construction on peatlands. 12 ambassadors are to attend Makassar Ambassadors Meeting. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Pekalongan, Central Java. Pekalongan City Government, Central Java, will soon launch Green Food House Area Program around pesantren or Islamic boarding schools in the area. Head of Pekalongan Food Security Office, Muadi, said in Pekalongan last Thursday, the city government has provided vegetable and fruit medicinal plan last Thursday for the boarding school. According to him, this program will also be prioritized in social institutions such as people-based social protection house. He hoped that this program can be expanded and maintained. In his view, this program is proven to be able to maintain food security, save household costs, add aesthetic values, and keep environment. The next information comes from Pekanbaru, Riau. Pekanbaru City Transportation Service, Riau Province, Sumatra Island, provided 100 free Senapelan water bus tickets last Thursday. Head of Pekanbaru Transportation Service, Arifin Harahap, said on Thursday in Pekanbaru, the free tickets were intentionally given in Sungai Duku River Port Counter to promote the beginning of Siak River water mass transportation. Besides, the bus launching was also a test to find out how long it works with the set route. He hoped that this bus will open new access to people in the remote area of Siak River. Senapelan water bus is granted by the Ministry of Transportation for the city of Pekanbaru in 2014. It can accommodate 50 passengers with AC and non-AC rooms. For the service, the city administration has to give ticket about 25,000 rupiah. The last news is from Yogyakarta. Traders from 31 traditional markets in the city of Yogyakarta perform in Ketoprak or traditional Javanese theater entitled Kidung Tengah Pasar last Friday at Pasar Ngasem. Head of Development Division at Yogyakarta City Market Management Service, Rudy Firdaus, said in Yogyakarta last Wednesday, the traders are from all traditional markets in the city of Yogyakarta. There were representatives of Market Management Service and Yogyakarta Mayor Haryadi Suyuti as the guests. According to him, the idea of Ketoprak performance involving traders of traditional markets comes from art performance of traditional market traders to enliven the 259th anniversary of Yogyakarta City. Director of Ketoprak Kidung Tengah Pasar, Nano Asmorondono, stated that all of the traders were enthusiastic despite obstacles during exercise. Kidung Tengah Pasar tells about condition in Parang Wedang Regency, which is not conducive because of demonstration and untrustworthy person that the region relies on. Nano revealed that the theme of Kidung Tengah Pasar story is inspired by the reality that traditional market keeps amazing richness and market condition reflects culture of a region. Well, listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello there. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1993, the Maastricht Treaty takes effect, formally establishing the European Union. The Maastricht Treaty, formally the Treaty on European Union or TEU, undertaken to integrate Europe, was signed on February 7, 1992 by the members of the European Community in Maastricht, Netherlands. On December 9 and 10, 1991, the same city hosted the European Council which drafted the treaty. Upon its entry into force on November 1, 1993, during the Delors Commission, it created the European Union and led to the creation of the single European currency, the euro. The Maastricht Treaty has been amended by the treaties of Amsterdam, Nice, and Lisbon. Next is Boot Vegan Day, which is an annual event celebrated on November the 1st every year by vegans around the world. The day was established in 1994 by Lewis Wallace, then president and chair of the Vegan Society United Kingdom, to commemorate its 50th anniversary and in 2014, the 70th anniversary of the term vegan, veganism, and the establishment of the Vegan Society. Vegans around the world join together to celebrate Animal Rights, Animal Advocates hold street stalls about veganism, host vegan potluck events, plant memorial trees for World Vegan Day. Speaking in 2011, Wallis said that we knew the society had been founded in November 1954 but didn't know the exact date, so I decided to go for the 1st November, partly because I liked the idea of this date coinciding with the Samhain or Halloween and the Day of the Dead, traditionally times for feasting and celebration, both apt and auspicious. Last is from 1952. Operation Ivy, the United States successfully detonates the first large hydrogen bomb, codenamed Mike M for Megaton, in the Eniwetok Atoll, located in the Marshall Islands in the central of Pacific Oceans. The explosion had a yield of 10 megatons. Operation Ivy was the 8th series of American nuclear tests, coming after Tumbler Snapper and before Upshot Not Hold. Its purpose was to help upgrade the U.S. arsenal of nuclear weapons in response to the Soviet nuclear weapons program. The two explosions were staged in late 1952 at Eniwetok Atoll in the Pacific Proving Ground in the Marshall Islands. Well, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Mirahma. Listener, the Indonesian President Joko Widodo shortened his working visit in the U.S. because of severe haze which hit Sumatra and Kalimantan, and even in almost big islands in Indonesia. From the U.S., the President flew to Palembang, South Sumatra. Having landed in Palembang last Thursday, the President went to Ogan Komering Ilir Region Office to hold limited meeting attended by Secretary Cabinet Pramono Anung, Minister of Social Affairs Hovifah Indar Parawansa, Minister of Education Anies Baswedan, Coordinating Minister of Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Panjaitan, Minister of Public Works Basuki Hadi Mulyono, Head of Presidential Staff Teten Mas Duki, Health Minister Nila Muluk, and South Sumatra Governor Alex Nurdin. In the meeting, President Jokowi listened to report on the recent condition in the burned land and forest, including hotspots and emergency handling for haze victims. In a press conference, President Joko Widodo confirmed that the government has stopped giving palm oil plantation concession permit and industrial plant forest in peatland following forest fire and land fire which caused haze in Sumatra and Kalimantan. The government will also do moratorium. In the meantime, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi said the ministry hasn't coordinated with haze disaster mitigation team about a plan to add forest and land fire extinguisher plane from other countries. According to Minister Retno LP Marsudi, now Indonesia still relies on its planes and they are ready to be maximized to put out the hotspots. Coordinating Minister of Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Panjaitan, who is also the head of Haze and Land Fire Disaster Handling Team, stated that several efforts have been done to handle this disaster, like blocking canal construction in Jambi, Sumatra, and Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. Besides, the fire extinguishing is done by using planes, and also from the land done by the National Military or TNI. For foreign aid, Luhut revealed that there would be 5 air tractor planes. In addition, Malaysia will send Bombardier CL 415 aircraft again in the near future and deploy experienced field firefighters in the peatland. Meanwhile, Minister of Forestry and Environment, Siti Nurbaya, explained that plantation companies whose land is burned should put out the fire completely, add more canals as water sources, and complete fire extinguisher devices. Minister Siti Nurbaya added that the companies have to be responsible if their land is burned. Besides observing medical facilities in Puskesmas or Community Health Center in Kuta Raya and Kayu Agung Regional General Hospital, President Joko Widodo also gave assistance in the form of fund reaching 15 million rupiah per person to the families of 4 children under 5 who died of the haze in Ogan Komering Ilir. He also gave Healthy Indonesia card for 399 people in the area. The president also visited some regencies who experienced land fire and also forest fire in South Sumatra. President then continued the working visit to Jambi and Kalimantan to see the recent condition in the affected areas. And listener, that's highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, and now we'll bring you news in brief. President Joko Widodo has issued an instruction to construct canals on peatlands during his working visit to Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan on Saturday, October the 31st. 12 ambassadors are set to attend the Makassar Ambassadors Meeting, which will coincide with the Lovely Toraja Festival, scheduled from November the 6th to 9th. The 3rd Gotra Sawala Arts Festival 2015, held in Cirebon, West Java on October 30th to November the 1st, invited various art and culture-related guests. A total of 63 cinema films, 17 TV films, 18 animation, 115 long documentary films, as well as short documentary films and short films, will take part to win Piala Citra Trophy at the Indonesian Film Festival 2015 awarding event. In order to improve the services and protection quality for the Indonesian citizens that are living in Penang, Kedah, and Perlis, Malaysia, Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia and Penang, as the Citizen Services Consulate, has organized training program on consular and immigration issues in Teluk Bahang, Pulau Pinang, Malaysia on Saturday.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will invite you to Ekas Bay in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara Province. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. E Pecas Bay Tourist Area is located at the southern tip of the island of Lombok, precisely in the village of Pamongkong, Jeroaru Subdistrict East Lombok. It is a white sandy beach with choppy waters, and this region is also known as a fisherman village. It is the largest bay in Lombok where a lot of boats and fish cages moored at the beach. Ecas Bay is also equipped with a dock, although currently it is not working. The place is also used to cultivate seaweed, shrimp, and lobster. Ecas Bay also keeps fascinating underwater beauty suitable for snorkeling and diving activities. Unfortunately, in the rainy season, waters around Ecas Bay become turbid because many rivers flow there. Besides being a favorite site of anglers, high waves in Ecas make surfers felt more challenged to ride it. The quality of the waves in Ecas is classified as regional classic, suitable to be enjoyed by various levels of surfers. For surfers, Ecas have two best spots, namely outside Ecas and inside Ecas. The waves in outside Ecas is as high as 5 to 10 feet. The waves here falls hard, powerful, and has a wide surface area, while inside Ecas is further into the bay. The waves here forms a fun wall. At the right time, there could be long wave which reaches a height of up to 12 feet. If you are still hesitating to determine the coastal tourist destination on the island of Lombok, make Ecas Bay as your first stop since it is very appropriate for snorkeling, swimming, and also fishing. But you must bring your own equipment because there is no rental facilities. Here, fishermen set up about 50 floating cages for grouper and shrimp breeding. You can also see the process of fish cutting to feed groupers in the floating cages, which later will be sold to the island of Bali and around Lombok. So, if you like marine tourism and you are pretty adventurous, Ecas Bay is your right destination. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. Until next edition with other places of interest, this is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Miscellany
on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will discuss Indonesian world-acclaimed cultural heritage, batik. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Batik is an original Indonesian cultural heritage that has been recognized by the world. Batik is generally applied to fabric and used as clothing material. However, in addition to fashion, batik fabric can also be used as decoration on the interior design. The most widely used is to spread batik on the wall. To show the beauty of a piece of batik to the maximum, it would take an artistic touch, however. For example, by making it appear wavy so that the walls, which originally was flat, can look more dynamic. The use of batik as an element of the interior design would reinforce the feel of a traditional style. Not only in Javanese houses, for batik originally comes from Java, but also in other areas. It was found out later that batik doesn't belong to Java Island only. There are other regions in Indonesia which also have batik. In fact, each region has its own characteristics batik. The use of batik motif is now growing. A senior interior design consultant, Aries Timotius, said batik can now be applied on any medium, not only on fabrics but also in buildings such as apartment buildings. According to Aries, batik has a philosophy that is very interesting and full of local wisdom to be applied in interior design. He said a trend that leads to the interior design, a blend of modern and traditional style, has combined batik in modern buildings such as apartments. He added, to beautify the interior of the building, the motif can be explored to increase the ethnic atmosphere of a building, which is now in vogue. Batik motif can be used on walls, ceilings, furniture, lighting, or other accessories. One of the apartment buildings that apply batik in the design of the building is Synthesis Residence Kemang in South Jakarta, which uses batik kawung as the inspiration concept of residential development. Batik kawung motif consists of patterns similar to kawung fruit, a kind of coconut, arranged geometrically. This batik with rectangular geometric shape in Javanese culture symbolizes the cycle of human life. Man should always remember his origins. Batik kawung is applied ranging from modern facade that is placed randomly on the balcony and the roof of the apartment tower unit. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which discuss batik in interior design. Until next time, with another edition of Miscellany, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you for our dear listener, wherever you are, who have sent your letters and also emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Andrew Kuznetsov in Latvia. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz on August 16, 2015. And the SINPO before 1900 hours UTC was 45444, but unfortunately, after 1900 hours UTC, according to Andrew, there was strong interferences from China Radio International Russian transmission. Hello, Mr. Andrew Kuznetsov. How are you? Thank you for being a regular listener, and for your complaint, we will deliver it to our technical division. And hopefully, you can listen to our radio clearly. As your request, we have sent a QSL card some time ago. Have you received it? If you have received our QSL card, please confirm to us. Thank you. Well, Mr. Andrew Kuznetsov,
Keep listening and sending your reception reports to our radio. Thank you very much. And special for you and also our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Listener, now we will reply an email from Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast through our streaming, ien.voa.co.id on October 4, 2015 at 900 hours to 1000 hours UTC. At the time, he monitored Indonesian women's segment. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Thank you for your email dated October 29, 2015. And thank you very much for always tuning in our radio. Well, listener, before we continue, we will play another beautiful song for our regular listener wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Magay ng pera, ikaw lapang lang.
listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply an email from Viktor Vazin in Russia. Hello, Mr. Viktor Vazin. How are you today? Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Mr. Viktor Vazin was tuning in our radio in Bahasa Indonesia through frequency of 9525 kHz on October 10, 2015 from 1431 hours to 1500 hours UTC, and the symbol was 34533. For the interference from another international radio, we will deliver your complaint to our technical division and we will also send your request as soon as possible. So please be patient to wait for it. Well, Mr. Viktor Vazin, we are looking forward to your next email with your reception report. Special for you and also our regular listener, we will play a beautiful song. Let's check it out.
Cinta.
listener, now we will reply an email from Nagmuchi Nowari in Algiers. He was listening to our broadcast, and in his email, Mr. Nagmuchi Nowari asked to send him brochures about our country. Hello, Mr. Nagmuchi Nowari. Thank you for your email dated October 27, 2015. We will send your request as soon as possible to your home. Thank you very much. Well, listener, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast, so please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id. info@voi.co.id or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter @voi_indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude listener's mailbag for this week, we will play another beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Selalu kau tawarkan, tak pernah ku pedulikan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.